Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, and we're going to begin reading at the end of chapter 21. And the bulletin says that can be found on page 364 in the Pew Bibles. I count it a real privilege to be able to be with you here at Maranatha Church this morning. As I mentioned in the introduction, it has been a while since I've stood at this pulpit, and I am very glad to be here this morning and to open God's Word with you. Let us hear and learn the Lord's will. Starting then with verse 43 of chapter 21, and we'll read to verse 9 of chapter 22. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give to their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave to you. Now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes. To the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given land in Bashan, and to the other half of the tribe, Joshua gave land on the west side of the Jordan with their brothers. When Joshua sent them home, he blessed them, saying, "Return to your homes with your great wealth, with large herds of livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and a great quantity of clothing to divide with your brothers the plunder from your enemies." So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh in Canaan to return to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses. So far, this portion of God's holy word. And for our text this morning, the verses 4 and 5, these words, "Now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest, as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Congregation of our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, I need a rest. There are a whole lot of people who are going to come home from their activities on this holiday weekend. And on Monday night or Tuesday morning, that's what they're going to be saying. I need a rest. On this holiday weekend, as we know, many have gone out of town. They're at lakes, at cottages, and they're going to be busy. They're going to be swimming and boating and building campfires and hiking and playing games with their kids. And at last Monday evening, they'll have that tense drive home to the city. And when they get home, they're going to be saying, if not out loud, then to themselves, "Oh, I need a rest." And even us who've stayed here in the city, perhaps you have plans for this holiday weekend. And when all is said and done, you're going to join that chorus, "I need a rest." The Israelites in the days of Joshua certainly knew that feeling. The generation before them had wandered 40 long years in the wilderness. And finally now their children and grandchildren following Joshua had entered the land of Canaan. They had to fight to conquer the wicked Canaanites in accordance with God's command. And at last, as we read here in Joshua 21 and 22, at last it was accomplished. All that time, all that effort, all those struggles, all that worry, at last it came to an end. And the Israelites had been called by Joshua, and they gathered together at Shiloh, where the Lord's tabernacle had been erected. That tabernacle, the religious center of the Israelite nation at that time, where the priests ministered at the altar of the Lord, and where the people were to come at appointed times for worship and to fulfill their covenant obligations to offer sacrifices to the Lord. As the people gathered there at Shiloh, the Lord God gave a message to his servant Joshua, a message for the people of Israel. Now remember, Joshua himself was an Old Testament type of Christ, a man whose very office of leadership showed to the Israelites among whom he labored what the Lord's Christ would be like. And Joshua's name, his very name in the Hebrew language, meant Savior. It was the very name that Mary and Joseph called out to Jesus. There at Shiloh, Joshua proclaimed rest for the people of God. And how gladly the people of Israel must have heard that message from the Lord. They must have rejoiced. They were able at last, at long last, to return home each one to their own plot of ground that God had given them there in the land of promise. At last, their wanderings were over, the fighting was done, and they could settle in. And that was particularly true for the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They had crossed over the Jordan River with the other ones, even though their inheritance and their families remained on the east side of the River Jordan. It had been a long time since they had been home. And now Joshua dismissed them from their army service. Joshua told them, "Go home, because the Lord God has given us rest." What a blessing! The Lord God knew the need of his people. He knew that they needed rest. And with divine generosity, the Lord gave his people what they needed. And let's take a close look at our scripture passage, because I'm sure that in the midst of all our busyness, in the midst of all our struggles in life, as we labor under the strain of modern existence, we too long to experience that rest that only God can give. And we see there in our text, first of all, that rest is a promise of God. The Israelites had come into the land of Canaan not by accident, but by the leading of God. The Lord never forgot his covenant promise that he made to Abraham. He would give the land of Canaan to Abraham's descendants. And after 400 years in Egypt, many of them years of bitter slavery, the Israelites, led by Moses and protected by God, had left the land of the Nile. Because of their unbelief, an entire generation wandered 40 years and died in the wilderness of Sinai. At last, however, their descendants entered the land of promise, and with the help of God and under the leadership of Joshua, they defeated the wicked Canaanites. And now finally, the land of promise was theirs. They possessed what God promised Abraham he would give. The Lord's promise was fulfilled, and now God gave the people rest. That rest itself was a promise of God, a sign from God of his eternal faithfulness. And what a blessing now to be able to enjoy this land flowing with milk and honey, to set aside the sword and the spear and to take up the pruning hook and to put the plow to the earth, to be secure and settled, each one in their own inheritance. Such was the blessing that God gave to his Old Testament people, Israel. And for us, New Testament Christians, God's people of this New Testament age, we too, we have the promise of God. And we have not only the history of Israel, as we read it there in the Old Testament, to assure us that God is faithful, but we have the very words of our own Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, who said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is Jesus' promise to you and me, to all who truly believe in him. And the Lord Jesus is faithful to his promise. Just as God gave Israel rest after all their struggles, so too today, God gives to his chosen people, to those who believe in him, faithful members of his church, God gives to us, after all our struggles, he gives us rest. Do you ever feel weary? Have you struggled long in body, in soul? Have you been fighting the good fight of faith? Then surely you know what it is to be weary. Let us hold fast to the promise of God that he will give us rest, as he has promised. rest for our hearts, rest for our souls, rest for our bodies, rest for our minds. Let us come to Jesus in faith, and he will give us rest. And our text tells us that rest comes with covenant conditions. In all covenants, there are contained two parts. It is so comforting to know that God promises his people rest. But that rest is not without condition. The Lord does not say, well, you do anything you want. You live as you please, and I'll still give you rest. No. Likewise, Joshua, there at Shiloh, foreshadowing Christ himself, Joshua told the people, look, you also have a covenant responsibility before God. You must believe and you must act as God's people should. And what is that responsibility? Joshua put it very clearly as the Spirit of God inspired him. We read it there in verse 5 of our text. There is the responsibility of obedience. As our text says, be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to walk in all his ways, to obey his command. The call of the Lord is clear. The rest that God promises, that rest comes to those whose walk before the Lord is devoted. Obey the Lord. That is essential. The Israelites needed to hear that. And in this rebellious and wicked age in which we live, we need to hear it too. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read, there is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. Christian obedience is essential. And we must love. That is our calling. Because the Lord, he doesn't just want to see outward conformity. The Lord God is the Almighty One who looks down from heaven and he reads all our hearts. And in our hearts there must be love. Love for God, love for our neighbor. Those who live in hatred and enmity will not experience rest for the soul. Those who show that love fills their heart and that love motivates them, those who love will receive the blessing of rest. And another responsibility, as Joshua reveals it there, is to hold fast to the Lord. The Israelites were called to remember the heritage that they had, for the Lord was the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and Joshua. We too, in this New Testament age, are called to remember the heritage that we have in God our Savior, in His holy word. And for those of us here in this church, we are called to remember the heritage that we have in our Reformed faith. How tragic to be like Esau, who sold away his birthright for a miserable plate of stew. How many today hold fast to their birthright? It would seem so few. Many, many sell it for nothing. And as a result, their hearts are empty and their lives have no peace. As our text says, it is those who hold fast to the Lord and His ways who will receive the blessing of rest for their souls. And Joshua reveals yet one more covenant responsibility: service. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, says the text. True Christianity is not merely a matter of getting. Oh, so many want to get things from the Lord. They want to get blessings. They want to get health and strength. They want to get prosperity. Though ultimately, one would hope, they want to get salvation. Oh, they want to get and get and get, but what do they give? True Christianity is not just a matter of getting goodies. It is a life of giving that renders service to the God of our salvation. Those who are willing to serve, those who are willing to sacrifice time and energy for the sake of the Lord, they don't lose, they gain. They gain rest for their hearts, rest for their souls, that wonderful rest that God promises His people. The challenge that I would lay before you this Sunday morning, people of God, is this. Do you have that rest? There at Shiloh, on that day when all Israel gathered before the Lord, Joshua could declare with confidence to the people, "The Lord your God has given rest as He promised." And the people knew that was true. The Lord had kept His promise. Today, do you know that rest that God promises to His people? That rest that Jesus promises to those who come to Him? Is your heart, is your soul at rest? Have you journeyed through the wilderness for a time? Have you fought the good fight of faith, and have you at last come to the promised land of rest? If you do not have that rest, if you lack the measure of rest that you as a child of God should enjoy, then reflect carefully upon our text, because there is a solution. God is faithful. The lack is not in God, not at all. The Lord keeps His covenant with His people. His offer of rest is given in all sincerity. Any lack does not reflect upon the Lord, not at all. Rather, it reflects upon us, on you and me. Dare to search your own heart and life. You have deep down no true rest of soul? Then what is lacking? Have you neglected the way of God? That straight and narrow path? Have you failed to offer yourself to the Lord in Christian obedience? Then repent and turn to the Lord for pardon, and you will find rest for your soul. Have you lacked love? Those who live around you, have they only experienced your anger and the grudges that you hold? Have you despised the heritage that you have as a Christian? A heritage of faith and doctrine. Have you withheld yourself from real service in God's kingdom? Ask God in heartfelt prayer to show you where the problem really is, and ask God to give you the grace to repair that damage so that as a child of God, forgiven, restored, you can keep covenant with the Lord of life and yielding your heart to Him, yielding your life to Him, you will find that gracious blessing of rest for your soul. I need a rest. And so do you, my friend. Real rest. A heart, a soul that rests secure in the Lord, the God of our salvation. That rest is there as a blessing. As a gift from God to all those who keep covenant with the Lord, who love Him, who serve Him, who walk in His ways. May you experience that wonderful rest, the rest that you need. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, in the midst of a restless and troubled world, how our hearts long for that spiritual rest that only you can give through the perfect sacrifice of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Oh, Lord, help us as your people to take up our covenant responsibilities, so that we may truly enjoy that wonderful blessing of rest that you promise for your people. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.